it has been, as you might imagine, it always is. When is it not a busy week for the Donald? Has been a frightfully busy time for the man whose face I'm looking at now on a very well-known news website. I have to say, and I'll get criticism for this, I'm sure I wouldn't say it if he were a female president, but he is remarkably orange. He is, as I've once said before, even more orange than I am. But Donald has been busy because he has been signing what he has described as a trade deal with Mexico and Canada that is the most important ever agreed by the United States. Surprise, surprise. But it's also been a busy week for the president because Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court wannabe, looks all but confirmed after he won the backing of key senators, despite that FBI investigation, which we were talking about on the show last weekend, into sexual assault allegations. It has been a remarkable story. And who better in the whole of planet Earth to bring us the very latest than my dear friend Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. Hello, Simon.
Hello, Matt. I think we should go back to the colour orange, because I do think that that is one of the abiding mysteries of this presidency, and we definitely don't talk about it enough. In fact, I don't think we've talked about it at all on LBC. I mean, what is with the constantly changing colour? It's very bizarre.
Can I just make an admission? Because I don't think I can diss the Donald without saying this right now live on national radio. But I do, from time to time, sometimes more often than time to time, mix in just the smallest hint of fake tan with my moisturiser. Being an orange-haired man, I'm a fairly pale skin fellow, and I don't want to give myself skin cancer, so I occasionally put a bit of fake tan on. Have I sunk ever lower in your estimation, having shared that information with you?
No, Matt, but only because you're talking to a man who appears not only on radio, but also on television. And I discovered a few years ago that the colour of the powder that best suits my complexion is known as buff beige.
I absolutely love that. Do you know what? Given that we're going to be talking about Mental Health Week a little later on, when I used to be on TV many years ago, I once got so neurotic and anxious about getting a suntan because I thought if I turned up on the internet or on television with a nice tan, this would encourage delusions of grandeur, of course, but this would encourage other people to go and get suntans, and I could therefore be directly or indirectly responsible for hundreds of thousands of people getting skin cancer around the world.
Well, I simply divert the viewers to my salt and pepper hair, Matt. That's the solution.
Now, tell us if you were back to business. What on earth has been going on with Brett Kavanaugh's nomination?
Well, he's on the eve of becoming a member of the Supreme Court. I mean, it's all over. It is all over, bar the voting. There was a procedural vote on Capitol Hill a few hours ago, which is basically the vote that says we're going to have the final vote. That's going to take place here in a few hours' time, as soon as the debate is over. But there's no question that Brett Kavanaugh is now going to be confirmed by a margin of 51 votes to 49. You've basically got one Democrat, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, and there is no more Rust Belt estate than West Virginia. So that's really Trump country, even though he's a Democratic member of the Senate. He's crossed over party lines, and he's supporting Brett Kavanaugh, but he's cancelled out by Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, who is going to be the only Republican who does not support Brett Kavanaugh to join the Supreme Court. Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States, was on standby to break any kind of 50-50 deadlock that erupted in the Senate, but it's absolutely apparent that that is not going to be required. Kavanaugh is going to be on the Supreme Court, and, you know, that's a remarkable outcome, given the extent to which his nomination became absolutely beleaguered by the sexual assault allegations against him. And honestly, the only thing that has really managed to save him, I think, from disaster, well, perhaps two things. First of all, the electoral calendar. We're a month away from midterm elections here. I think if Brett Kavanaugh's nomination had happened back in February or March, and he'd run into the kind of difficulty that he's run into, the White House would have pulled him very, very rapidly, because they would have had time to find a replacement. But of course, the other thing that has saved him is the very limited nature of the FBI investigation that the Republicans have permitted over the course of the last few weeks. There are scores of witnesses out there who say they tried to contact the FBI. They tried to provide evidence to support the allegations that have been made against Judge Kavanaugh, and the FBI never called them back. And that's because the FBI was circumscribed. They were constrained in what they were allowed to do by the Republicans. So the Democrats say this is a stitch up. The Republicans say absolutely not. Brett Kavanaugh should never have had his name dragged through the mud by the Democrats. There is no corroboration to support the allegations that have been made. It's time to move forward and put him on the bench. And that's what's going to happen here tomorrow.
So the FBI finds itself once again at the heart of an enormous political storm. This feels to me, although I understand that there are many millions around the world who'll feel differently, it feels to me a sort of sad irony that there is a sense of a breach of natural justice here in the very nomination process of one of the very top judges in the United States. It doesn't quite smell right. And to give, if it's not just me saying this, I mean, you look at John Paul Stevens. Now, he is, as I understand it, 98 years old. He's a former Supreme Court judge. He was supposed to be a Republican or Republican-leaning, although he could come out with, I think, fairly liberal decisions. And he said that the performance that Kavanaugh gave in front of that Senate committee last week or the week before made him, he felt, unfit for office. In other words, forget for a second the allegations. The way that Kavanaugh conducted himself in that meeting, in that hearing, simply wasn't up to scratch.
Yes, I mean, I agree with all of that with a couple of caveats. I mean, first of all, let's be fair to President Trump. He is the President of the United States. He does have the right to nominate a Supreme Court justice, and he does have the right to expect that that justice is going to be treated fairly. Now, you know, treating Supreme Court nominees unfairly has become grist for the mill here in Washington, D.C. Remember that Barack Obama nominated a Supreme Court justice by the name of Merrick Garland about a year before Barack Obama left the White House, and the Republicans turned around and said, no, it's too late in your presidency to advance all of this, and they never even brought him up to Capitol Hill for a nominating process. I think that what we're witnessing here is what has been a traditionally restrained, civilized process whereby Democrats and Republicans work together to find out exactly what makes a judicial nominee tick and whether he or she has the mettle, has the temperament, has the judicial qualifications to serve on the Supreme Court. All of that has kind of gone out of the window. And just as the presidency has become a reality television presidency, and just as the electoral process here has become a reality television electoral process, now that is infecting even the confirmation process for a Supreme Court judge. And let's be under no illusions about the important role that Brett Kavanaugh is now going to get to play here. I mean, my kids are 15 and 12. Brett Kavanaugh, assuming he's in good health, is likely to remain on the Supreme Court until my kids are in late middle age. And he is going to be the swing vote determining the outcome of a whole host of absolutely lightning rod social issues here. The legality of abortion, the death penalty, the legality of same-sex marriage, redistricting of constituencies in states across the country, the role that money plays in politics. This is a huge, huge job. And to have someone like Brett Kavanaugh, who last Thursday revealed that he really is a political operative in the Donald Trump mold, you know, that's a dramatic change for the Supreme Court that, for example, Justice John Paul Stevens used to serve on.
Very finally and very briefly, if you just tell us, Simon, whether you agree with Donald Trump that this new trade deal he struck with Canada and Mexico is not only the most important ever agreed by the US, but it is also truly historic and the biggest trade deal in the United States history.
Well, look, there's no question that it's historic. President Trump was elected saying he thought that NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, was lousy, and he's renegotiated some key provisions of it. It's not fair simply to say all he's done is change the name. There are some key provisions that have been renegotiated. The oddity about this trade deal, this new trade deal, is that it is based in very large measure on the wording that was used in the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership. That huge proposed US-Asia free trade deal, out of which Donald Trump pulled as soon as he became president of the United States. And it's very bizarre to be in a situation where the president turns his back on Asia, turns his back on the provisions of the TPP, but then uses those very provisions to write this new version of NAFTA. But that all underscores the fact that this presidency is increasingly becoming about showing hostility towards China. And one of the undercovered stories this week, Matt, never mind the trade deal, is the extraordinarily hawkish speech that Mike Pence, the vice president, made earlier this week about China, a speech that the Chinese interpreted as essentially being a shot across their bows, a new Cold War, if you like, between Washington and Beijing. And that trade deal with Mexico and Canada plays a role in that broader strategy that Donald Trump is pursuing.
Simon Marks, a great pleasure to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Matt. Always good to be with you.
Well, that was Simon, our US correspondent, our Washington correspondent. 0345 6060973. Do text as well, 84850. Get stuck in on Twitter at LBC. You can come and find me if you want at Matthew Stadlin as well. I'm asking you, do you think that the Manchester University Student Union has got it horribly wrong or brilliantly right? Kind of ditching, not quite ditching, but encouraging the ditching in certain circumstances of traditional clapping. You know the one. In favour of jazz hands. 0345 6060 973. Matt Stadlin, Saturday and Sunday mornings, 1 till 5 on LBC. It's 13 minutes to 2.
Welcome to LBC. It's 6 o'clock, October the 8th. My name's David Jessel. This is The Morning Show, and here's the news.
45 years of LBC.
So, making radio history. Nick Clegg, welcome to LBC.
I'm just getting further information. The siege here has just ended 1 minute ago.
I lost my mother and my aunt in that fight. I heard every last breath.
What did you think of West Berlin?
It's wonderful. I mean, it's another world for me.
Why should Abbas apologise for what these murderers in Paris did?
They're doing it in the name of Islam.
We're leaving Downing Street for the last time.
How dare you? How dare you?
There's a big hole in the carriage and there's people flying everywhere.
There are white flags flying, ready for shipment back to Argentina.
The crowd in the stadium was unbelievable.
How much will they cost?
It will cost...
Welcome to LBC. 45 years of LBC, leading Britain's conversation.